see my watch with Lance Nolan on East Coast Breakfast.
All right, you need to listen very, very carefully to the facts of this story. It is actually very concerning. I was going to say it like kind of, but it's not. It's very concerning. It's a hell of a story. We are experiencing a listeriosis crisis. Good morning, Wayne.
Hello, Darren. It has been coming on for a while. The National Institute of Communicable Diseases, NICD, has been tracking this for a year, since January 2017. Mm. Very quietly tracking the cases when they started noticing a spike. It really took off in August of last year. The numbers started peaking, and new cases, from my math, it seems to be new confirmed cases around 10 a week around the country. 727 cases so far, 7% or about 50 of them in KZN, so we're the third province, first Gauteng, then the Cape, and then us. If you think about it, that's how the population goes. Mm. And it's finally been declared a notifiable disease. South Africans only heard about this last month.
Yeah.
I think they were, for whatever reason, the authorities chose to keep it quiet.
So you don't want to cause a panic.
Don't, but the numbers are quite... I'm the most non-alarmist journalist, but 61 people have died, about 40% of them babies less than 4 weeks old,
sure.
So-called neonates, because pregnant women are 20 times more likely to get listeriosis.
Yeah.
That's from the bacteria, the foodborne pathogen Listeria.
Mm.
They're 20 times more likely to get it than other healthy adults. The death rate from listeriosis is alarmingly high. So while if you get salmonella poisoning, so-called poisoning, we call it, or E. coli, other forms of food poisoning, you've got a less than 1% chance of dying. With listeriosis, it's 20 to 25% chance.
That's insane. One in
so
four.
So that's, it's, yeah, that's the problem. So people at most at risk besides pregnant women are people over 65 and anyone with a compromised immune system. So people with HIV and AIDS, if you think of that in a South African context, people with diabetes, cancer, or those who've had organ transplants. Okay, so interestingly, I had a look at the stats very closely, and those that those confirmed cases, those patients with listeriosis were in both state and private hospitals, so roughly two-thirds in state hospitals and a third in private hospitals. So it's cutting across it's in all nine provinces.
Spectrum.
And it's cutting across, the spectrum.
So tell me the authorities have figured out the source of the listeria.
Okay, so that's the big issue here. They haven't. So while these numbers are escalating, we still don't know where it's coming from. It's being hailed by food scientists here and around the world as the biggest outbreak of listeriosis ever recorded.
Mm.
And a year down the line, nobody's any wiser as to where it's coming from. And here's the thing. The NICD has established via genome sequencing, so it's basically getting a genetic fingerprint of this bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And in almost all cases, the listeria came from a single source. So that's one particular product or range of products. And we don't know what it is. So that is not a good combo.
Because I suppose if you're looking at the glass half full, once we identify the product or range of products, at least we know it's that one thing.
Exactly.
That we know
then
to stop
very
buying or
big
eating.
Action can be taken, and I would hate to be that company.
But we still
have
no idea what that
there
one
was
product
an abattoir in the Eastern Cape that was suspected. They were closed down briefly, but thanks to this genome sequencing that they couldn't match it.
So they were able to eliminate that abattoir.
There was some listeria and it's been sorted out, but it wasn't the one that's causing the problem.
Okay.
Pretoria-based microbiologist and food safety expert Lucia Anilich had this to say about the food culprit.
It is likely a product that is so widely consumed and consumed extremely often. And that is why we're seeing a spike in cases. South Africa has actually had a number of cases every year, but there's never been an alarming rate that the NICD started picking up on. Numbers were growing per month, quite alarming.
Sure. What are the symptoms of listeriosis?
Okay, so they show up any time between 2 and 30 days. So that's quite a big window period. That's after eating the food, contaminated with listeria. In pregnant women, they include mild flu-like symptoms, headaches, muscle aches, fever, nausea, and vomiting.
So like flu symptoms.
Flu-y, yeah, very flu-y. And if the infection spreads to the nervous system, it gets more serious. Stiff neck, disorientation, and convulsions.
So what foods should people, especially those at risk, be avoiding? At the risk of alarming people, if we are to avoid any kind of foods, what would they
it's
be?
It's got to the stage where we can err on the side of alarming people, and we'll get to that list of things to avoid in just a bit. You've got to hang on.
Yeah, more with Consumer Watch on this. Alarming story of listeriosis outbreak in South Africa. 67 fatalities at 25%. 61 fatalities, 20 to 25% fatality rate to this bacteria, listeria.
It's listeria, but it causes listeriosis in people, yeah.
All right. More with Consumer Watch in about 6 minutes.
Consumer Watch with Warren Nolan on East Coast Breakfast.
8:48 on East Coast Breakfast. Okay, so what foods should we be avoiding while we have a rampant listeriosis outbreak and no idea which widely sold and consumed product is the culprit? Wendy Nolan.
Okay, so ready-to-eat foods. So foods that you buy from a supermarket or some outlet which you don't need to cook or heat before eating. So it's obviously cooking properly kills these bacteria. So you're buying some ham or Viennas or polony or cooked chicken or whatever that from a deli, and you are eating it. You're either eating it and then putting the leftovers in the fridge, or you know you're not heating it yourself. So that's worldwide, it's not just this outbreak. Worldwide, deli meat's the number one, found to be the number one cause. Okay, people buying from delis, and then also refrigerated pâtés or meat spreads, unpasteurized raw milk and cheese made from that raw milk has also been found to be a culprit. It's not a big issue in this country, doubtless with the numbers involved, it's unlikely to be that. Refrigerated smoked seafood, raw sprouts. You know, you buy in the little polystyrene trays, raw sprouts, and prepackaged salads and things. So here's our food safety expert, Dr. Lucia Anilich again.
Deli meats are obviously consumed by a wide variety of people in the population, whether it's a cheaper cut or a more expensive cut. So it certainly could point towards deli meats, but there are likely other products that might also be just as implicated, and it's really difficult at this stage to point a finger in a specific direction, considering we have absolutely no other leads at this stage.
Yeah. And to make matters worse, listeria, unlike other bacteria, can carry on growing even in a fridge if it's not at the right temperature, and apparently most of ours aren't. Here's Lucia again.
Listeria can grow at refrigeration temperatures, which is actually one of the traits of this organism that many others don't have. Hmm. So it is very important that consumers check the temperature of their fridges and keep it below 4 degrees Celsius. The majority of our home fridges are actually not running at 4 degrees Celsius. They often run at higher, around about 5, 6, and sometimes even 8 degrees Celsius. Oh. So it is really important that just simply monitoring the temperature of your fridge with a thermometer.
And fascinating that, because I mean, to give you an idea how cold my fridge is, my strawberry jam crystallizes in the fridge. And not in the freezer. So I keep thinking to myself, I need to turn that temperature up. And I'm like, no, I'll keep it down.
And also, when we pack our fridges in summer and we're entertaining festive season, the temperature does go down, and then we're opening and closing it.
Yes.
So that's a tip that I'm definitely going to take.
Right.
Another thing we can all do to protect ourselves from foodborne diseases is to make sure that we don't contaminate cooked food with raw food or the raw food juices. Mm. So if you cut meat on a board, when you've cooked it, don't put it back, the cooked meat back onto that board, or cut it with the knife that you used to cut it when it was raw.
Right.
Or listen to this, Braai Masters. Don't take meat off a braai and put it back into the same container or braai bucky that the meat was in when it was raw. Like, stick it back with all the juices. A lot of people do that and they go, oh, I've never been sick. Well, if you're a fit, healthy person, non-risk person, you might have just got a bit of diarrhea and not realized that you actually got sick. But you got to give that meat to someone with a compromised immunity, and it could not end well. And always keep cooked meat on a fridge shelf above that of raw meat, so there's no chance that the juices from any raw meat can drip onto your cooked meat and contaminate it that way. So this is not just for listeriosis. This is for all foodborne pathogens, and getting sick from those other ones as well. Finally, I asked Lucia if she had a daughter who was pregnant right now, given that there's the source of the listeriosis remains a mystery, what would she advise her? And this is what she said.
I would certainly advise my daughter to avoid all the listed high-risk products that are typically associated with Listeria monocytogenes if they cannot be cooked fully before consumption. So if she was about to make a sandwich with a slice of deli meat and maybe some sprouts and maybe some prepackaged salads, I would certainly advise her not to do that.
Wow, we're going to have to make some serious food decisions if
absolutely.
We want to avoid
it. And I think the good thing out of this is that this all, the dangers apply to all foodborne pathogens. So if we up our game on the kinds of foods we're buying and how we're storing them in our fridges and you know, with making sure we cook things properly, it's going to help us generally. And there's a lot of information around listeriosis on Lucia's website, loads and loads of stuff and references to food safety organizations, etc. So I'll put that link on the blog, which will be up in the next little while.
All right, you can find that on ecr.co.za. Click on Consumer Watch. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Don.